Start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic, and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. Well, I got to tell my engineer something. Mike, how come I can't hear anything in my headphones? See if you can maybe turn them up a little bit. Anyway, just a minor little technical thing. How are you doing this evening? Have you had a great weekend? Couldn't ask for better weather. It's so beautiful. And I hope you've been able to get out to Farmer's Market. The Healdsburg Farmer's Market opened yesterday. And gosh, it was so gorgeous. So incredibly gorgeous. Lou Preston, who of Preston of Dry Creek, the winery, he didn't do the Saturday market last year. He did the Tuesday afternoon market. It's switching now to Wednesday, but that's another story. But Lou is back on Saturdays. He had beautiful cardoons. He had Dry Creek Valley red wheat, Dry Creek Valley rye. He had beautiful eggs. Wonderful, just harvested garlic. It hadn't dried out yet. That garlic is a real treat at that point, different than garlic that has been cured. But just every bit of that market was just glorious. I didn't want to leave. Yet at the same time, the day before in Sonoma Valley, that market was beautiful, fabulous artichokes. In both of those areas, in the Healdsburg and Alexander Valley area and Sonoma Valley, the harvest is a bit ahead. It's warmer in both of those regions. So I was really just dazzled by the how spring's harvest is in such full swing. Little tiny bit slower in the cooler climate areas, especially Sebastopol where I live. And that's a good thing because, you know, I like fog. Anyway, hope you had a chance to get to a farmer's market. It is, you know, the best way to get to know what is seasonal and what is yummy right now. And also, how about that sugar moon? Did you get outside last night to see it? In all the news stories about it, everyone's calling it the super moon. And it is a super moon, which has to do with how close it is to Earth. But the May full moon is called the sugar moon. And if you think about it, it makes sense because the weather warms up in May and the sap starts to rise and they can tap the maple trees. So that's the reason for it being called the sugar moon. It's also called the flower moon. And I'm thinking, even though it's a tiny bit off topic, I might do a whole hour on the moon at some point because every full moon has more than one name. And it's so interesting the way that it's tied to what is happening at that time of year. I just love it. So there you go. I also love our guest tonight, returning for I don't know how many times, but never enough. It is Evelyn Cheatham of Worth Our Weight. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
You bet. It's so good to see you. And also, one of your apprentices, is that
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is Rafa Guzman.
Hello.
Welcome. How long have you been with Worth Our Weight?
in May, this month will be my 1 year.
1 year, congratulations. That's great. And you have, I haven't seen these jerseys before. Worth our weight, chef in training. They're very attractive.
Thank you.
So, Evelyn, a lot of things are happening with Worth Our Weight right now. I know you've got a special dinner coming up, I think, next Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've got Mother's Day brunch, and then you've got an open house later in the month, right?
Yep.
Well, let's talk about those things and then sort of go back to the history.
Okay.
So, Saturday night.
Saturday night, dinner with Dusky, Dusky Estes, Zazu.
Who is everywhere. I swear. You know, I'm going to tell you something about Dusky. She's a twin. There are two of them out there. They go by the same name because no single person can be as many places as Dusky
Dusky's
is.
Dusky's all over the place. And I hope she's having fun. I don't think she's in town right now, actually.
She always looks like she's having fun. She's got such a big, huge smile.
Dusky's great, and she's a really good cook.
Yeah, and she's so supportive of the community.
I think she told me she has a fundraiser to do every weekend for the next six. So she is supporting all the nonprofits in Sonoma County. She needs a little help out there, you chefs. But, but she's cooking a dinner with the apprentices next Saturday night for us as a fundraiser for us.
Mm-hmm. And it's not at Worth Our Weight.
It's not at Worth Our Weight. We thought we'd go out and do something nice at our board member's house because it's a lovely home. We have some jazz musicians who are going to play. We've got some wine. And Dusky's created a nice menu, which I didn't bring, but maybe I remember it. And it's an opportunity. You know, I was trying to schedule these dinners so the apprentices could cook with people that are not me because they're used mm-hmm. to me. And it would be a nice opportunity for them to work with other chefs.
Sure. So what time is it taking place and how much does it cost?
Well, we were asking for a $100 donation. Mm-hmm. Starts at 6:30 at the home of our board member, Karen Gifford, in Sebastopol, Michelle.
Cool.
Close to you.
Close to me. And it starts at 6:30.
Yep.
Okay. And how do people make reservations?
Through Worth Our Weight. So,
and then go to worthourweight.org?
Then go to worthourweight.org or give us a call at 544-1200.
You have the best phone number. Did you pick that?
I did.
Yeah, right on, 544-1200.
Easy to remember.
And, you know, would you like a piece of scratch paper so that when you remember different things that she's doing, you'll be before the end of the show, you'll remember the menu. I know you will.
Well, you know, I kind of know the menu, but she's got all those, she's got these long names for everything.
She does. She names every ingredient that she describes a dish. Is it on the website?
It is on the website.
Okay, well, we're going to look it up for you. So no worries.
All right.
No worries. We'll look it up, and after we take a musical break, we will have the menu. So that's happening. And how many apprentices will be working with her?
Everybody will work with her.
And how many do you have right now?
Well, we have about a dozen.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think all 12 will.
Uh-huh.
But we have about a dozen.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then will they also be doing the service?
They're going to do everything.
They're going to do everything.
Yeah.
Right on.
I mean, I'll be there to help.
Sure.
And a couple of other adults will be there to help, mm-hmm. especially to pour wine. We've got some volunteers coming in to pour wine because mm-hmm. they're too young to have their hands on the wine.
That's right. And how many people can, what's your capacity?
60 people.
She's got a big house.
She's got a big house and it flows outdoors very nicely. So it'll be indoor, outdoor kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
So let's hope the weather holds for us because it is beautiful today.
It is beautiful today. I'm kind of hoping it's just a teeny tiny bit cooler. At least I have a hula performance that day, and we are performing from 1 to 3 in the afternoon at the Novato Hamilton Amphitheater. And the stage of the amphitheater is positioned in such a way that all the guests are mostly in the shade, and they're looking down on the stage,
and
the sun is pounding down on the cement stage. So I'm hoping for just a bit of a cooling, at least in Novato.
It'll be a little cooler there because it's a bit south of us.
It's a bit south, and you know, it's out near the water, so
you'll be fine. We'll all be good.
It'll be a perfect day, and then. So you guys are going to be like washing dishes at 10 o'clock at night.
We are going to be rocking because we're going to serve brunch that morning.
I was going to say, and then you got to like get some power sleep, and then you're doing Mother's Day brunch.
Power sleep. That's right. How rough. About 4 hours.
Yeah,
4 hours.
And what's happening for Mother's Day brunch?
Oh, we have a great menu for Mother's Day brunch. I know we're having duck tamales with poached eggs.
Ooh, yum.
And a little salsa roja. I think... why did I come unprepared?
You're prepared. It'll come. Don't worry. Because you always serve brunch on Sunday.
We always have brunch on Sunday.
And you were slamming today.
And we did a ton of people today. We were very lucky. It's our second Sunday in a row where we've had about a half hour wait for seats, and that's never happened for us. So it's really been nice. It's really been like a blessing. But, you know, everything for Worth Our Wait has been a blessing this year. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude from the universe and from our supporters for all the great things that's happened for this restaurant.
You bought a house.
We bought a house.
For Worth Our Wait.
For our apprentices.
Tell us about that.
Well, we were... You know, I have to preface it with, we bought the house next door. It was our neighbor's house, and our neighbor lost his house through foreclosure. But we were able to buy it. And so there's a bittersweet thing going on there. But we were able to buy it, and it was through donations. You know, I just asked for donations, and we got the down payment, and we bought the house. And then a lovely man, Ken Martin, a lot of people in Santa Rosa know Ken Martin, came and said, well, we'll just remodel it for you.
Wow.
And I think he put in about $30,000 remodeling the house. The house is completely redone. It's
so beautiful. It's done now.
It's done. Go ahead.
It's got, what, four bedrooms?
Four bedrooms, yeah. Four bedrooms, a lovely front yard, a lovely backyard. It's big, isn't it?
Oh, yeah,
you can
nice.
Weigh in any time.
Jump right in. Just right in, Rafa.
What do you think about the house?
I love it.
Do you live there?
I don't. Uh-huh. But I definitely go in there and I help out. I help set up the beds, move around the furniture, make it look nice.
Where did we get those beds?
We got those were donated by Sleep Train.
Wow.
All the beds in the house were donated by. It's been a miracle. Ever since the first day I said, you know, I'd like to buy this house, it's been a miracle. Having people donate $40,000 for the down payment, having one person donate the, well, not donate, but loan us the entire amount to buy the house in cash. Is amazing.
The entire amount in cash?
Yes.
So it's just a private loan?
It's a private loan.
Wow. Right?
So that's the miracle. I mean, everything has been a miracle. Everybody who's donated to this house has been fantastic. I mean, I can't even start talking about it because I'll just like start crying and stuff because it's been overwhelming how generous our supporters have been. Mm-hmm. But our first apprentice moved in day before yesterday, so we're just starting.
So it's just starting.
Yeah, we're just starting the move-in process.
And then eventually, how many people will be able to live there at a time?
We can fit eight kids there.
Eight, that's what I was going to guess. Now, you have a front yard and a backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to become a garden?
Well, the front yard, we planted three trees last weekend. We planted a peach tree and two Santa Rosa plums. We've got five more trees coming. So we're going to do an orchard around the front yard. It's got a huge, like, sort of lawn expanse around the front because it's on a corner. And we're going to do trees all the way around the perimeter of the house, fruit trees, seasonal fruit trees. We're waiting for our persimmon. We're waiting for our pomegranate to come.
Pomegranate, yay.
Yeah, we've got to have some winter trees as well that are producing. So the kids can have, for a couple of reasons, so the kids can have fruit to eat and know what it's like to grow up, you know, to live with fruit that's right there. You can go outside and pick it. And also for fruit for us to use for processing in the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
So Gravenstein's coming.
Gravenstein. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Great. And then at some point, maybe vegetables in the backyard.
And then we'll do vegetables. Yeah. I think we'll do... Clark Wolf has been helping us with this. And so I think we're going to do vegetables between the trees and the house and some raised beds and some raised beds in the backyard.
Excellent.
It's great.
That is so great. And then you're going to have... an open house coming up towards the end of the month?
May 28th.
And that's a Wednesday?
That's a Monday.
It's a Monday?
Yeah, it's Memorial Day.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. Okay, yes. It's a Monday, so on Memorial Day. Tell us about that.
The open house is so that everybody who's donated, everybody who's interested, everybody who is on our board and our advisory board can all get together, and we're going to have a big barbecue so people can see the house, tour the house, and hang out with us. And we'll probably have some events, some things that the kids can do. The kids are going to cook, for sure.
Uh-huh.
But there are a couple of projects that are going to go on at that time just to have a nice afternoon.
Uh-huh. And is it something where, like, just even casual customers
can come?
Everybody
can come. The whole world is invited.
Excellent. And what time?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 in the afternoon.
Excellent.
We'll feed everybody.
You'll feed everybody.
Yep.
That is so amazing. So it's been a really good year.
It's been a fantastic year.
Great. We're going to take a little musical break, and we will be right back.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Fabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October sky. And all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze that blows. And I'm trying to plead to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. And all the night magic seems
There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I'll make you my own. And every time I touch you, you just tremble inside. And I know how much you want me that you can't hide.
Chuck Jackson doing a cover of the classic Moondance by Van Morrison. I wanted to play all Moon songs tonight, and I forgot my very extensive collection of Moon songs. I thought it was in the station, and it's not. So we'll just see what we can do. We have the menu. We have the Dusky Estes menu. What is Dusky? What are the interns or the apprentices going to be doing with Dusky?
For our first course, we're having a Dungeness Crab Brondad Stuffed Piquillo with Meyer lemon aioli. For our main course, we're having black cod, black risotto, Sebastopol mushrooms, and sweet pea vines. For our dessert, we're having backyard rose geranium panna cotta, balsamic strawberries, and grains of paradise shortbread. With all this, we have many vegetarian options. I think Desky's going to make a fresh pasta for people who want it. And we have wine and music. Cool. I think it'll be a lovely evening.
It does. It sounds like it. And for a really good cause.
We'd love for people to come.
Cool. Cool. And we'll give the contact, we'll give all the contact information at the end of the show, as we always do that on Mouthful, because everyone is trained to make sure they have their pencil
ready
a little
at the end
bit
of the show.
Before 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find out about the program, Rafa? How did you end up in Worth Our Weight?
Well, when I was going to Santa Rosa High School, my workability teacher knew that I liked the culinary arts, and I liked to cook, and I liked to be in the restaurant, really.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew about Worth Our Weight, and I had no idea about, like, this program even existed. And then she took me on a field trip down there on a Friday after school. I came, checked it out. I got a tour of the restaurant, had an interview with Chef, and then I started the following weekend.
Wow,
yeah.
That's great.
Very fast.
So, and what sort of things do you do there now? Do you do a bit of everything? Do you have a particular specialty?
Well, my favorite part of the is the front house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a waiter out there. I train new apprentices how to wait tables, how to talk to the customers, how to bus tables, how to move, like, really efficiently in the front house, mm-hmm. and, like, not try to work your body too hard out there, because it can get really, really busy out there, and it can get hectic.
Yes.
But, yeah, I just train them how to work it out up front, and then try to, like, think of, like come up answers on your own, you know. If you come up with like a problem that you that a customer's asking you questions or something, you gotta like figure it out on your own, like on the spot, you know, just really quick.
How to think on your feet.
Exactly.
Good for you. Good for you.
He's really good at it.
Uh-huh. And do you sometimes go to the farmer's market on Saturday?
I don't. I bake off the pastries for there sometimes, though. Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Because okay. You look familiar. I was thinking maybe I'd seen you there.
Mm-hmm.
And we should say that the that Worth Our Weight has a booth. It's not a booth. It's a very attractive
cart. It's that
it's
lovely
this wonderful cart,
That was donated.
Yes.
By the Guy Fieri Foundation.
Yes.
And it's beautiful, and it's bright yellow and cheerful red. Rafa, I think Rafa was getting ready to say that he does the bake-off, and people just sort of pass right over that. But Rafa, what time do you come in to bake for the farmer's market?
At 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
Wow. That's something. How old are you?
17.
That's extremely impressive. Really impressive. How does that booth do, or the cart do at the market?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah. You know, it's not a big money maker, mm-hmm. but it's fine. It's a nice presence at the market, and we mm-hmm. love being a part of the market. And mm-hmm. I love for the apprentices who do work at the market. They make relationships. They get relationships with the farmers that are at the market. Uh-huh. So they have particular farmers that they like to buy from, or this mm-hmm. person has this great thing. And I just love that they make that connection there.
Yeah. And we should say it's the center of our original farmers market,
that's
the one
it.
On Saturday.
Yep.
Now, will we see, where will we find you after the market moves up to the former Luther Burbank Center? What is it now? Wells Fargo.
It's the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts, but I still call it Luther Burbank Center.
I call it LBC.
Luther Burbank did so much in, related to food that we want to just keep saying his name. It's very powerful to say mm-hmm. the name. So we can call it the Wells Fargo, or as my goddaughter says, the Wellgo Center for the Arts, Luther Burbank Center. So we're going there.
Okay. So that's where you can find Worth Our Weight on Saturdays. But you're also open on Saturdays for breakfast and lunch?
We are. We open for brunch on Saturdays.
For brunch. So is it a similar menu on both days?
It's the same menu both days with mm-hmm. specials. We have daily specials now, mm-hmm. which are great. It's nice to have the specials because we have customers. We have a family that has come every weekend, every Sunday for the last 4 years. Unless they're out of town. And so I get bored with things easily. Uh-huh. And if I'm bored with it, I figure the customers are bored uh-huh. with it. So we finally got to the place where we have specials every Saturday and mm-hmm. Sunday. But we have quite an extensive menu.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
Okay. Well, we do have a chicken and waffles, mm-hmm. which is a buttermilk waffle with oven-fried organic chicken. And we have steak sandwiches, eggs Florentine, Eggs Benedict, house-made hollandaise sauce, and we make our own English muffins. What else do we got?
We got those cornmeal pancakes.
Cornmeal pancakes, yeah. Polenta, chicken apple sausage. We got just regular buttermilk waffle with California strawberries and whipped cream.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of your favorites?
That is one of my... Yeah, I love the waffles. Waffles are great.
And what kind of waffle iron do you have?
We have four waffle irons that
are
commercial. Yeah, we have four waffle irons. They're always going on the blink. They're not the great big heavy duty restaurant waffle irons. Uh-huh. They're commercial waffle irons, but they're not the big heavy duty ones because they always go on the blink. As long as I've worked in breakfast houses, one of the waffle irons is out.
Yeah.
So we're always having this conversation. They blow the fuses. They're a nightmare. But the one thing that's great about our waffles is that we make the waffle batter ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
we don't
buy
frozen waffles.
We don't buy frozen waffles, and we don't buy any mix like Bisquick or Aunt Jemima's or anything like that. But everything is made from scratch. And I think Rafa mentioned that we make the English muffins. And we make an English muffin roll for the steak sandwiches. So we try to make everything that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those wonderful huevos rancheros. It's like our number one seller.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. That was the one they showed on the Guy Fieri show.
Oh, Guy Fieri show. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And what about Friday night dinners?
We're not doing it very much.
Yeah, I hadn't gotten an email about that. You were doing them for a while.
Yeah. We work hard.
Yeah.
We work hard. So we get a little burned out sometimes, I think. Just asking these guys to work Friday night, then Saturday morning, then Saturday night, then Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. It takes up all their time.
Mm-hmm.
So brunch is kind of rocking these days, so we're worn out after brunch, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because these guys, they come in, you start 6:30 this morning?
Yep.
6:30 this morning, mm-hmm. and then by the time 4 o'clock rolls around, they've washed a million dishes and mopped the floor, bus tables, and it's time to go home.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens with Rutha Waite the rest of the days of the week?
Wednesday through, we're there Wednesday through Sunday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we do prep. Rafa comes in after school, Thursdays and Fridays after school. We're doing inventory, although you start inventory today, right?
Yeah, I just started doing inventory on Sundays. Yeah.
He's got managerial capabilities, I think.
Outstanding. And so you just closed on Monday and Tuesday, so you can
restaurant
get a breather. Yes, good.
Restaurant time off.
So how many years has Rutha Waite been around now? I'm scared to ask.
I think it's
actually
6 years.
Six years.
Amazing. Yeah, we had our first group of apprentices in 2006. So we're in 6 years now.
And do you know how many apprentices you've had so far?
No, but there's a way to know that. I think we're in the 400.
Wow.
We've had 450 kids come through the program. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't stay. Everybody doesn't make it through the year.
Sure. And is it a year-long program? Is that?
Well, we ask the kids to make a commitment of a year, although that sounds like an eternity to them, but it goes by kind of quickly, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It definitely, especially when you're having fun out there.
And do some stay longer? Is that a possibility?
Yes, some stay longer. We've got somebody at 2 years now, especially when they start young. I've got a few 15-year-olds, so when they start at 15, they stay 2 years. Because I just can't place them in a job before then.
Sure. And then you also do that. You help them find it. You place them.
We were just having the job talk on the way here, Roth and I.
So are you looking towards that sometime soon?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have your eye on any particular place?
No, not yet.
Not yet, okay. Yeah. Cool.
Just, yeah, anywhere is fine.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your original vision for Worth Our Weight. I think what you've done is remarkable. Anyone who knows what you've done knows it's remarkable and knows that you have been so passionate in following that vision. And when I saw you on Friday night, I should tell you, I ran into Evelyn Friday night at an art show opening for Mary Vaughn, who's we both love her work. And they actually met here on Mouthful a number of years ago. Anyway, we were talking about the influence in a lot of ways that Steve Jobs had on you. And I just loved that.
What did I say?
Oh, you just said, he really inspired you to stay strong.
He stands by his vision. He stood by his vision. Yeah. No matter how people would say, you know, well, that's never been done before. But that's like a so what if it's never been done before? So Worth Our Weight is a program that does not get government funding, that started by, you know, one person with a lot of help that...
That one person is you.
Yeah, that's me. But people would say to me, you know, that's never been done before. Well, you have to get government grants. Well, you have to do it this way and you have to do it that way. And I said, no, I really don't want to. I want to do it the old-fashioned way. And the old-fashioned way was a long time ago, and in Germany it's really big to this day, is apprenticeships, that you learn by doing it. You learn hands-on.
France, too.
You immerse yourself in the culture of it. Because what I learned about my life is I went to school for journalism. So I studied journalism. I got my degree. I went to work for a newspaper. And in 6 weeks, I realized I hated it. This is all I'm going to do? I'm going to spend my life doing this? Well, there's so many other things I want to do. And so I thought... And I get this at the JC when I teach a lot of times. I get older students who come in and say, well, you know, yeah, I'm a dentist, but I hate it. I don't want to do that anymore. Or I'm an accountant. I can't believe I went to school for this and I have this degree in this, but I don't want to do it. I want to cook. And so apprenticeships are great because you immerse yourself in the culture of that. You have hands-on learning, and you decide right then and there, I do want to do this or I don't want to do this, but at least I know what it is. And so this is a great way to bring people into the world of restaurants, because people get great ideas all the time. I think I want to open a restaurant. And that's why we have an 80% mortality rate in the first 3 years. Yeah. They don't know anything about it. They cook Mama Spaghetti, and Mama Spaghetti, all the neighbors love it. And then they think they turn that into a restaurant, and they find out that before they know it, they're not making spaghetti every day. They're washing dishes. They're mopping the floor. They're cleaning the bathroom. And this is not what they wanted to do. But having a restaurant involves all those things. I never washed more dishes than when I owned a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you're filling in for the employees who don't show up for work. You're dealing with, you know, the hood fire or the waffle iron that doesn't work.
Yep. Yeah. Or we're out of this. What'd they say today? We don't have any cilantro.
And you're serving huevos rancheros. Who went to the store?
Right.
So, but you also, when you were had this vision for Worth Our Weight. You also were thinking about a specific target audience.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Yes. My target audience are kids who are aging out of foster care, kids who are on probation, and kids who have documented learning disabilities. And I feel like these are the young people that get marginalized. They get pushed to the side. They think, well, you know, I'm not going to a four-year school or this, that, and the other. But also, it's a different way of learning. Everybody doesn't learn the same way. Mm-hmm. A lot of people learn hands-on. And for my kids who are aging out of foster care and for my probation kids, and a lot of times they're the same kids, the kitchen is a healing place. The kitchen was a wonderful place mm-hmm. for me when I was growing up. I would sit under the table and play with my dolls and watch my mom and my aunts, you know, shell peas and cook together on a Sunday afternoon. There's nothing happier, because my favorite aunt, when she was doing something like shelling peas, she just passed them under the table to me all the time. She knew I was there. But it's nurturing. It's love. It's warmth. There's nothing bad about being in the kitchen and hanging out. Mm-hmm. And I think that our kids, this generation of kids and other generations of young people are losing touch with where the food comes from and how their food is prepared.
Everyone is, and adults included.
And hanging out in the kitchen and mm-hmm. cooking with your family members on a daily basis and sitting together. You know, we have family meal at Worth Our Weight every single day, and I think mm-hmm. that might be Rafa's favorite part of the day.
As it should be. Yeah. It should be the favorite part of everyone's day. You know, I was trying to think today, who wrote that book, Much Depends on Dinner?
I don't know.
Margaret, and her last name starts with a V. I keep thinking it's Villar, but I don't think it is. She was, or Vassar or something like that. She was Canadian. And just the title says so much. And really, if you're worried about the world, if you're worried about your life, that's fine. But, you know, there's dinner to prepare. There's dinner to share. And when you do that, then it's almost time to go to bed, and you're happy.
Yep.
And if we all just did that, you know, it'd be...
We don't eat together enough.
No, we don't.
And eating together is the beginning of us having community.
I agree.
And we have community at Worth Our Weight, which is wonderful. What do you think?
I don't know. I think my favorite part of family meal is making the food, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, did you grow up with family meals?
Kind of, sort of. Uh-huh. I did grow up in the restaurant. You know, my dad and mom both worked in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from busting tables from, like, mm-hmm. 7 years old to keep...
Oh, so you grew up in the restaurant business. You grew up working during
working
meals.
In the restaurant, yeah. Right, yeah. You know, busting tables and then helping the waitresses out. You know, I liked it. I've just loved it ever since the beginning. You know?
So you were really born into this.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you can tell. Whenever you talk about it, your face glows. We're going to take a little musical interlude here on Mouthful. We'll be right back with more talk with Evelyn Cheatham and Rafa Guzman.
To make romance beneath the cover of October sky. All the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know, I'm trying the reason I'm calling on you. Heart straight the place of the low. Tonight, I can't wait till the morning has come. And I know now the time is just right. And straight into my heart you will run. When you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true. There and then I will make you my own. Tomorrow, where to you, my
It's Mouthful. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for sticking with us, or if you are just tuning in, my guest this evening, the inimitable, the truly amazing and inspiring Chef Evelyn Cheatham and one of her apprentices, Rafa Guzman. I first met you, Evelyn, when you had the sweetest little cafe we have ever had anywhere in Sonoma County, I think.
Sweet.
It was just, you know, it's the sort of sweetness that just makes your teeth hurt. It's so sweet. Tweets. The potato tart. As soon as I say the potato tart, I can taste it. The best black bean soup. And those dinners you did, I think maybe once a month. Okay, those wonderful dinners. It was just such a great place. It was there on Mendocino near college, right?
Yes.
Yeah, just before college. Mm-hmm. You closed Tweets, and then you did something really astonishing, I thought. You went back to the retreat, right?
Oh, yes. I went to New York. I cooked upstate New York for almost 4 years.
And what was it, like 10,000 meals a day?
Sometimes, it rarely got up to 10,000, but it was consistently in the high season, 5,000 people a day. And that's not 5,000 meals.
That's 15,000 meals.
It's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks. Uh-huh. So because it was at a retreat site, you know, they just stayed on campus. So we had to feed them.
Yeah. And what sort of retreat?
As meditation retreat, yoga retreat,
yoga. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And how did you end up doing that?
Oh, I had been in and out of the organization for a long time, and mm-hmm. I cooked on a volunteer basis, and then they wanted someone to run it, and it was something that I wanted to do because I wanted to challenge myself. I wanted to know that I could make fresh food made from scratch for 5,000 people. So one of the high points of my day was to have the produce trucks come, and I had these teenage guys who were staff who would do the receiving, the stocking and receiving, and they would just crawl over these trucks and look at the pallets of strawberries, if we were going to have strawberry shortcake, for instance, and look at the pallets of strawberries and inspect the strawberries, and then wave up to me, okay, they're all great, or okay, we got a few cases that are rotten, or the avocados. You can't imagine how many avocados we would have, and they would have to be served ripe. And so keeping avocados for, say, 2,500 people, that's a trick.
That is really a trick. How big was your staff?
My staff was 100.
100, and how many kitchens?
We had 5 kitchens.
5 kitchens, yeah. Wow. And you went to, like, you took a bus or something to get to
some
of
them. You could take shuttle buses between the kitchens. But I love the walk-ins, because I had a walk-ins designated for every single thing. So we had a walk-in.
For strawberries.
We had a walk-in for pineapple and avocados and milk and, yeah.
Wow, that's just remarkable. And so you were there for 3 years.
Yeah, a little over 3 years.
And then you came back to Sonoma County.
Yes.
We should say you're originally from San Francisco. You grew up in San Francisco.
San Francisco, where the cafes are the greatest sometimes. That's what I was raised on.
Yeah, yeah. So what made you come back to Sonoma County?
Well, this is my home.
Okay.
It's my home. I kept a house here.
Okay. Oh, you kept a house there. So yeah. When you went to New York to the retreat,
I was only going for a year.
Oh, okay.
I was only going to do that for a year because I wanted to test myself. Uh-huh. And then I just tested myself and tested myself and tested myself. And then one day it was snowing. The snow drifts outside my office were higher than the building. And I was talking to my cousin on the phone, and I said, what are you doing? He said, well, you know, I just finished mowing the lawn, and I'm getting ready to fire up the Barbie. And I thought, what planet do you live on? There's snow here. And I thought at that moment, you know what? I'm kind of ready to go home.
Yeah. So you came back. And
I didn't have anything to do. And the probation department, somebody at the probation department called me and asked me if I would develop a culinary training program for incarcerated youth. And I said, no, that's not what I do. There are times in my life when I feel like I've been like incredibly arrogant but didn't know it. And so they called 3 different times, and I said, and then they finally said, would you volunteer? I said, oh, of course I'll volunteer. I'll come on. Of course. And I fell in love with it because I realized, see, what I didn't know was that I had something to give. I realized was that I had something I could teach, that mm-hmm. I had a wealth of knowledge that I could share. Mm-hmm. And that was astonishing because these kids were cooking out of number 10 cans, those gigantic cans, you know.
Yeah, now these were kids at the probation camp.
Yeah, they
were, right?
At the probation camp.
And it's out on the same property where
Shone Farm
mm-hmm. and
Yakama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you ended up more than volunteering.
I did take the job there because we turned it into a fantastic culinary program where the kids were doing catering, and we went on culinary field trips to Los Angeles and New York. And
yeah, you took them to New York.
With your help, actually.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that part. I'd totally forgotten. Well, I fell in love with that program and those kids. And to hear, I remember when I did a feature story for the Chronicle.
Yeah.
And I just remember interviewing several of them, and it was such a revelation to witness their revelation about food. Each one of them, it was so different. And I can still picture them. I can still picture talking to the ones that I spoke to. It was really an amazing thing.
It was an amazing program. It was magical for me.
Yeah, and then I got to know some of the boys. I think Miguel was probably the one. Where's Miguel now?
Miguel's in Mexico. He calls sometimes.
He does call. Yeah. Great. Yeah. I took him clothes shopping once. I took him on a restaurant review with me, and there was a really nice Goodwill store right next to the restaurant. And I said, "Hey, let's go clothes shopping." I bought him a nice sweater and a nice pair of pants. He looked so good. So after probation camp, you then went out to Los Gallegos, right?
Yes, for a short time.
Yeah, because I did. That's the first time I did. One of your Christmas dinners, which is something else you do that is amazing. Cooking out you and a bunch of friends.
Make
feed a lot of people.
For whoever
for Christmas.
Wants it.
Yeah.
22 years.
That's right.
22 years doing the Christmas dinner.
And how many did you feed last year?
How many? It was over 500.
Yeah, it was definitely over 500.
500.
Yeah, the Worth Our Weight apprentices are involved in the Christmas dinner now. Uh-huh. It's the highlight of the year, I think.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. I don't think this last year I did it, but the year before I drove.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting. You get there, and it's like a parade of cars. And you've got Malcolm there with his, he's got a clipboard, and he's assigning, okay, you're taking this, you're taking this, and people, it's so efficient. And then you just drive out. Did somebody way out in West County, and not only do you have this amazingly abundant meal, it's so generous, it probably feeds, somebody for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, that's the intent, yeah. Because when I wanted to do a Christmas meal donation or any kind of donation like that, I just remember my childhood, and my childhood was a big fancy dinner table with the family, and then going for a walk with my granddad, and then going back for dessert. And so people who live in shelters, they sit down to the meal, and that's it. So I thought, well, what about the kids when they want seconds and when they want dessert? It's not there. So we deliver a meal that is enough to feel wealthy for the season.
Yeah, along with presents.
Along with presents.
Along with a big basket of presents.
Yeah.
And the look on the people's faces when I drove up with that food, and there was a picnic table outside. It was very mild weather. And I kept bringing things out of my car, and their smiles got bigger, but also that sort of chop draw of, what? All of this? And it just filled this picnic table, everything I brought.
So you don't worry about the kids wanting seconds.
No, and there's some of the kids. I mean, I think there was a babe in arms and maybe a 2 or 3 year old. It was just really great. How many volunteers does it take to put that whole thing together?
A massive amount of people. Yeah. But, people want to volunteer.
Yeah.
We wouldn't need all the people that come but mm-hmm. to do a meal like that. But people want to be a part of something like that. Mm-hmm. So, it starts with the kids who come for the carrot peeling and potato peeling wars that they have at the table, to roasting a million turkeys, to packaging mm-hmm. Christmas morning is a real big deal. We get there about 5 o'clock in the morning. We start wrapping everything, and even though we wrap it in aluminum foil, we put red ribbons on everything so it looks like a present. And then it's festive.
Yeah, I know I haven't done it. I've been out of town the last 2 years. It was out of town. I was in Mississippi
Lucky
for Christmas.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like New Orleans for Christmas. So let's go back now to Worth Our Weight. You've got the Dusky Estes dinner coming up. And if you want information about that, worthourweight.org. We'll have the menu posted. It has all the details posted. Or 544-1200. I'll say it again, 544-1200. That's taking place on Saturday, and then Mother's Day brunch is the next day. What about reservations?
Oh, we really ask for reservations.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes, please call to reserve.
Okay. And what about cost?
A Mother's Day brunch, all our brunch meals All the meals served at the cafe are by donation.
It is still that.
Yeah, we're asking for a suggested donation of $25, but it's merely a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. So you started that almost as soon as you moved in, the location where you are now, and we should say it's right behind Osake.
Right.
So it's at the corner of Patio Court and
Hammond Drive.
That's right, Hammond Drive. It's your third location.
Yes, it is.
Third location. So you pretty much started donation only.
At this location.
Yeah.
We've been at this location 4 years.
Uh-huh. And how has that worked out?
The beauty of donation is that older people who live on fixed incomes can come and go out to eat and not have a menu price that's going to scare them away.
Mm-hmm.
That we have some kids who are young people who are homeless and living rough on the street who come and eat breakfast and they leave, 75 cents or $2. I got a ticket today for $2. And it offers the opportunity for those of us who have a little bit more to leave a little bit more so that someone else can have a meal out.
Uh-huh.
So donation works just fine for us.
It is.
Yeah, it's just fine.
That's great. And what sustains the program economically?
Our brunches and catering. That's how we make our money. That's what we do. We don't have government grants. We have some small grants from local contributors, but nothing that would really fund a huge nonprofit. That's
right.
Just not there.
So you're able to make it on that?
The program is able to make it.
That's what I mean. The program is able to make it. That just rocks.
Yeah, there's no big salary for an executive director.
No.
No, there's nothing like that.
No. No, but the program is self-sustaining.
At this point, I can say that we're lucky enough through these serious economic times that we're still able to pay our bills. So that's holding on, and that's success as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the students or the apprentices who come out, that's a pretty good sign of success, too.
Yeah.
You also do some special things when Terra Madre is taking place.
Yes. This is a year for Terra Madre in Turin, Italy, the slow food conference. And we generally go. We go every time it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we work to raise money for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we take the kids.
Now, the kids that you take to that, is it in many instances the first time they've left the country?
A lot of times, the first time they've ever been on a plane.
Wow. What an incredible thing.
Yeah.
And then you also, don't you do something over the winter?
Well, we go on, me and the kids go camping in the summer, and we go snowboarding in the winter.
Where do you go camping?
Last year, we went up to Packer Lake, because the chef who volunteers with us had a job up at Packer Lake. It's in the Sierra, so we went up there for almost a week. And this year, we're going to go to a place called Ruth Lake this summer. And then after they do the Christmas meal is a night and day kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting. And so I believe they need a treat. And I found that they work together as a team really well when we have these bonding times away. So we went to Mount Shasta last year, the day after Christmas.
Uh-huh. And the year before that, I think you went to Yosemite, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
That trip just sounded great.
Yeah, we did.
So these kids are learning, hands-on learning. They're learning what may be a career for them. And then they're also having these experiences that broaden their horizons in ways that it's really impossible to describe.
Yeah, well, they bond. And Rafa, if you want to say something about how you feel about your team members, I think it'd be good, because I see it as a beautiful thing.
Well, definitely. We have great vibes in the restaurant, especially everybody listens to each other. We take advice very seriously. You can really talk about anything you need, we got each other's backs in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
If you need somebody to cover you for something, just let me know. I got you and cover you. You cover me.
How do you feel about each other? Because I've heard you say this lots of times.
We love each other. Really. It's a lot of love in there.
That's such a great thing. You know, and that's not something that you find a lot of 15, 16, and 17-year-olds willing to be open and probably even think about, so that's another thing that you're getting out of the program that's really touching.
Yeah, I'm great. I'm gaining a career, and then I'm getting some awesome friends as well as at the same time. So, I'm always going to remember these people because, they've pushed me through this program. This has been like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Definitely. Hard in a good way?
Hard in the best way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
And
hard is good.
Yeah, hard work is just, I like hard work. I don't like to be bored sitting at work, just getting paid to sit on my butt,
Yeah.
I like to be active and doing something and
Cool.
That's great.
Yeah. And now, on top of all of this, you're going to be able to provide several of them with a place to live.
Yeah, that's the big deal. That that was a real hard thing, that we've lost a lot of kids in the program to homelessness because family situations deteriorate, and we're probably already shaky and deteriorate, and somebody says, get out of my house, you're 18, go do this, go do that, and they just don't have the capabilities to handle that in their lives.
Yeah, and plus I think a lot, I don't think the general public understands how it works with foster kids. You're 18, bye.
Bye, see ya.
With no resources.
Nothing.
There's
no net.
One,
no
yeah, there's
net.
No one who's going to fund your education. There's no, just bye.
Yeah, I mean, there are programs that are coming in to California now to help the foster youth, mm-hmm. but the statistics on aging out of foster care, the horrible statistics are just, they're just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. What can people do? If somebody's listening, they're just discovering you, what do you want the community to do?
Come to brunch.
Mm-hmm.
See what we do. See us. You know, these guys are working hard, learning a skill and serving some great food. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful way to support a nonprofit, is you get something in return. You can support us by coming to brunch.
Mm-hmm. And what time do you serve on Saturday?
9 to 2.
9 to 2 Saturday, and what time on Sunday?
9 to 1.
9 to 1. So there's the first thing that you can do, is go see them. What about your neighbors? How do you, you know, I know that you're, what, across from Montgomery High?
We're across the street from Montgomery High School and next door to the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, so, and like a few steps away from Montgomery Village.
Yep.
And then with some residential.
Yeah, there's
so. Your neighbors come to brunch?
Our neighbors come to brunch. There's a guy who lives up the street named Paul who comes and brings us fresh herbs on Saturday. There's a lady around the corner who picks pears and brings them to us. When they're ripe, I think we have just great community support.
Mm-hmm. And that area has fabulous fruit trees all over the place. I know where there's a really good lemon tree. okay, so let's run through it again really quickly. Dusky, a special dinner with Chef Dusky Eskies of Zazu is happening on May 12th.
That's this coming Saturday.
$100. It's at a private address in Sebastopol. You find out all those details when you sign up for it.
Yes.
100% goes to the Worth Our Weight program.
It goes to our apprentice stipend fund.
Oh, great. Okay, and then there's, in addition to Dusky's menu, which all of the apprentices will be executing.
Yes.
Wine and music, live music.
Live music.
In a nice big house.
The Psychometrics are playing.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's happening on the 12th, and then Mother's Day brunch on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then a big community open house taking place on May 28th.
Monday, May 28th.
Starting at 1 o'clock.
Starting at 1 o'clock, barbecue, and all the salads, potato salad, coleslaw, some good ice cream. It's going to be a fun party.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be more information about that as the date gets closer. Certainly an item in Mouthful,
yeah. So,
if nothing else. But I'm sure there will be other things as well. Had to take Joey off my lap. Sorry about that little break there. Well, that's, I'm so impressed with your program. I'm so touched. It's so great to meet you, Rafa.
I
love meeting apprentices. I love everything about Worth Our Weight, except that I can never come.
Oh, we hate that part.
I hate that part, too. And there's a day in May. I think it might be Memorial Day weekend. That Saturday, I actually have, it's a rare free Saturday. So I will try to come for brunch.
You look for it.
You know, Saturday is devoted to work. I mean, I visit farmers markets, and I have two classes that I attend on Saturdays. And Sundays I visit farmers markets, I write, and I get ready for Mouthful. So that's why you haven't seen me. I apologize.
But we know you support us, and we really appreciate it.
You know, I love Worth Our Weight, and anything I can do, even if it's just talking on the radio, I will do. So anytime you have something else going on, you let me know.
Okay.
And best of luck. I hope the rest of the year is as fabulous as it has been for you so far.
Thanks so much, Michelle.
You
bet. So I hope you have a great week. Be sure to tune in next Sunday for another really yummy episode of Mouthful. And if you're interested in Hawaii, if you're interested in hula, the show next Saturday at the Hamilton Amphitheater is really going to be quite gorgeous. There will be some beautiful ole, which is chanting, some ole that not that I'm doing, believe me, I'm a novice, but that some of the long-term students are doing, it just gives you goosebumps. It is so beautiful. If you have kids, children 10 and under are free, and I'll tell you who's going to steal the show. It's the Keiki, which are the children. There are 7 little girls, and they are doing several dances. They will steal your hearts. So it's a great show. It's $10 for adults, and that's all. It takes place from 1 to 3. You can send me an email, and I will send you a flyer in return, catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to Hula On. It's HULAON, hulaon.org, and find out all the information there should you want to go. And last I heard, there were still tickets available. And the only thing you need to know, bring something to sit on, a low chair or a nice straw mat. And I'll meet you back here next Sunday, a little bit tired, but happy. Have a great week.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord.